Hello and welcome to the Multiverse of Marketing. I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is J.R. Sweeney.
Hello.
Hello, spooky new. I don't know. Boo to you. It's almost Halloween.
Yeah. When we're recording this, by the time it comes out, it will be after.
Yeah, it'll be almost Christmas by then.
I hope not.
Oh, God. But don't you want to, as with every good Christmas of memory in the 80s, go down to the tree in the morning and unwrap that hot new sexy Transformer, possibly episode 2 of The Transformers, Robots in Really Bad Books.
Yeah. That pretty much describes my entire childhood. It's just like... Hot new Transformer. Oh, it's disappointing. Fuck.
Yeah. 20 minutes later. Ah. Fuck.
Yeah. Shit. the Christmas stories I have about Transformers. Like the time my ex-fiance's mom hated me for the rest of our relationship because of a Transformer.
Ooh.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Do tell.
No, it was, you know, during, so at that point I was like 21, and my family was at that time refusing to buy me toys because they were just like, you're an adult. Now, eventually they realized them not buying me toys was not going to stop me getting toys. So they're just like, fine, whatever. That's what you like. Okay. But at that time, they were trying to like break me of it or whatever. And at the time, they had just started Transformers Armada. And the leader class, they weren't calling it that at that time, but it was the big Optimus Prime had just come out, and it was it's fucking cool. I'm sorry, like, I know Armada is one of those that people are like, it's Pokeformers, but I'm sorry. Transformers Armada is fucking Optimus Prime is fucking awesome, because his trailer transforms by itself depending on what mode you have the cab in. If it's a cab, the trailer's a trailer. If it's in robot mode, it automatically transforms into a base. And if you transform it into the top half of Super Optimus Prime, it automatically transforms into the lower half. That is still fucking cool. Okay.
Yeah, no, that smart design is what it is.
Yeah. It's insanely cool. Anyway, so I had complained to my fiance at that time that I was like, well, I want that. I can't afford it, and there's no way my family's going to get it for me. So, she went home for the holidays and told her mom this. They came back the day after Christmas, and they had bought me one, which is very nice. It's very nice. At that time, we were not yet even engaged. We had been dating for a few months. So the day at Christmas Day, I had gotten cash from my family. That they'll do. They would do during this time. And so as soon as Walmart opened the day after Christmas, I went and bought a fucking Optimus Prime. And so they came over after when they got into town, and they were like, we got you something. And I opened it and I'm like, holy shit. And it was very nice. But I had to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I went this morning and bought one. And as a result, her mom hated me for the rest of our relationship. Now, in my defense, I had no reasonable expectation that they would do such a thing. I had met them once. So why would I think they would spend $40 or something like that on a present for me? But for the remaining 2 or 3 years of our relationship, she was just pissed at me. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay. Anyway.
Over that. I'd say that they managed to, like, you know, like they chose right. They made the good choice. It was just like weirdly badly timed due to kismet. She must have gone through some fucking shit trying to buy that toy. I had to punch out a nun. then like rectify myself and my soul with punching out that nun. And then who was behind me in line while I was waiting to pay? The fucking nun I punched.
You know, and I was perfectly willing to return the one I bought. I wanted to keep the one they got me because I genuinely appreciated it. But whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck them. Fuck them and their daughter. Anyway. Dreamwave. That's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, fuck that and its daughter.
Sure. So yeah, we started, of course, by talking about the Marvel years, but those are over. We're done. Yeah,
the good times are gone for a while.
There weren't any Transformers comics beyond like random weird shit occasionally. Maybe
and
the odd.
I again am amazed that they never did a Beast Wars Beasties tie-in at the time. It was so obvious.
Yeah. All they ever, I think there were the odd, like, pack-in comics, like, during the, when they came out with the Bat, Optimus Prime, and Alligator Megatron, there was a comic included with that and stuff like that, because that's just kind of what they did at that time. But no, there were no real Transformers comics. For 9 years. So our story this time around begins with superstar artist Pat Lee and his brother Roger Lee, not a superstar artist. Pat was discovered by Rob Liefeld. And so Pat and Roger started an imprint at Image, ostensibly. The stuff I'm reading says they started an imprint. They started Dreamwave Productions in 1996, but honestly, I don't see anything that has Dreamwave branding on it. So they may have called themselves Dreamwave Productions at that time, but. So what?
Yeah. No, that's like two friends being like, you know what we should do? You know what we should do? We should make like our own comic books. Yeah. And we'll call it this. Yeah. And it's like, no, you haven't founded anything yet. You are just going, yeah.
So Pat was doing various work for Image at the time. He worked on Blood Pool, stuff like that. And generally speaking, who gives a shit?
This is late 90s Image. Who gives a shit is more or less the entire, like, zeitgeist.
Depending. I mean, you know, Astro City was going at that point, so.
This is true. But I always consider Astro City in the same vein as, like, listen, if you get, like someone like Alan Moore to touch a project, it no longer is at Image. It leaves and it goes and finds, like, artistic friends to hang out with.
But
over at America's Best!
He did, in 1999, work on a Wolverine-Punisher crossover, which was, yeah... Wolverine Punisher Revelation. But
The revelation is just how crappy this very obvious team up is. So crappy that, if I recall, Garth Ennis actually, when he teamed Punisher and the Wolverine up in Marvel Knights, he intentionally included a bunch of like insults directly to that book.
I don't doubt it. The thing about it is when you look at Pat Lee drawing human beings, it is totally believable that he is a protege of Rob Liefeld.
Yes.
But
I mean, even so, like, in preparation for this, I decided to, like, you know, have at the ready a Wikipedia article of Pat Lee in case I needed to call upon it. And when you Google Pat Lee Wikipedia or just Pat Lee artist Transformers, instead of Wikipedia itself or anything useful, you get one of the Transformers wikis. And at the top of it, in glorious black and white, is an image of him with a faded out image of himself behind him and Kanji, and he's wearing a puff jacket or vest, no shirt, very short shorts and boots, and just like, here is my abs, here's my abs, look at my abs, 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 and it's just one total throwback to the terrible Rob Liefeld jeans ad, except like Rob never had Pat Lee's body.
Well, at least two, Rob was paid for that. Like, Calvin Klein this called is just him vanity. Up and was just like, do you want to appear in an ad? And he's like, sure. And Calvin Klein was like, here's some money. Pat Lee presumably did that free of charge. Like,
and that someday we're going to have to do an entire episode on like when comic book artists and writers become famous and the things that they end up doing, because sweet fucking Jesus, Todd, stop it. Stop it, Todd.
Must we?
We must.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyway.
From what I can see, like even just looking at this photo of him, suddenly I realized I like all of his work came together in my mind. Mm-hmm. So like you got someone like Rob Liefeld. Rob always draws from like the neck down and then up. He the neck and the muscles there are the most important ones to him. Then you get the pecs, neck. Then you get to like the rest of the body and the misshapen arms and the non-existent feet and the head that is like always a square. Unless it's a woman, then it's like a half moon. He doesn't exactly have made designs.
No.
And like Jim Lee, for all his wonderful talent and such, always starts with the teeth. Jim Lee starts drawing the teeth. They are gritted. Okay, now we can draw the rest of the character. Pat Lee, I believe, begins at the core, and he draws his own abs every time, even if it's a robot, and builds out from there, and suddenly every single design he's ever made makes sense.
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah.
So, you know, he did all this work for Image, and then... then they actually in 2001 they struck out on their own and began Dreamwave Productions proper. And by and large, Dreamwave Productions didn't really have a lot that was worthwhile. They had a lot of licensed series like Mega Man, Metroid Prime. They had the Ninja Turtles for a hot minute. Devil May Cry, things like that. But in terms of their original series, it's just a whole lot of nothing.
I can't even actually think of one, honestly. Like,
because they largely abandoned them by about 2003. Everything, you know, you look at their like Transformers comics, those continued into nearly 2005. Those were there right up until the moment Dreamwave closed their doors. But there is literally nothing of their original series that goes past 2003. Which is good. I'm glad they didn't keep wasting money on those, because none of them were worthwhile. I picked up an issue or two of their original comics just to see if, like, they could occasionally fall backwards into a good book. And no, they could not.
Oh no. Oh no.
But Dreamwave got the Transformers license at the end of 2001. And it is hard to express how much excitement there was about Pat Lee's Transformers in the lead up to the series coming out. Because Pat Lee...
Seriously.
It seems like the kind of thing that it's just like, who cares? But no, went into a comic shop, there were big posters of his Optimus Prime and his Megatron. He had done these prints of the two leaders, and they were standing, they were like squatting on Autobot and Decepticon logos, and people went apeshit for him. They were on t-shirts, they were just everywhere for a hot minute there. And in fairness, they are good.
They are good. They are. And I completely understand how the industry, especially at the time, coming out of the 90s and kind of starved for the next thing, went, is this a thing? Maybe it is. Maybe he shall be our new savior for the next generation.
Yeah.
Because at that point, like, no one knew what the fuck to do. Their comics, Marvel had almost died at this point. DC was kind of like, they were in the middle of the Crisis to Crisis era. So, like, if you dug it, you dug it. If you didn't, it was fucking boring.
Yeah.
Image, like I said, like, was mostly just an imprint for Danger Girl, if I recall, at this moment. Savage Dragon.
Well, Image's name was very apt at the beginning of its run, because a lot of it was very style over substance.
They can't write.
Yeah.
It ain't called Word.
And so, you know, you had the odd thing here or there, like Astro City, or, you know, you had Straczynski doing Rising Stars at Top Cow.
I forgot about Rising Stars.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I really want more of that. So when Dreamwave started doing the Transformers comics, it was huge, because it was very dynamic poses.
No one had ever seen like these kinds of like the only way to really describe them is kind of like anthropomorphized Transformers. Like, instead of it just being a humanoid shape, they had muscle groups made out of the parts that they are, and like no one had done it. It's one of those basic things that's like, that seems so simple, and yet no one had done it. And I vividly remember how Garb Sheamus would fill his Wolverine magazine full of Transformers. So, like, every issue, you get about five solid pages of just this Transformer art all over the place. Usually the same image, like, a couple of images every issue. But, like, when Garb Sheamus is distracted away from his obsessive love affair with Logan, you know something's fucking happening.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the love affair was not to last, because the comics always sold reasonably well, but what we discovered is Pat Lee at that time could do pinups. He was a shit comic artist. And when you look at those early because the two Transformers Generation 1 miniseries that they put out are two very different beasts. So I'm going to talk about the first one first. In that, you would have these panels where something would look really good, and there would be the odd one here or there. The humans looked like shit. Hands down, every time across the board. They were garbage. But
it's kind of funny how bad they looked and like how relatively incredible the Transformers are. Yeah.
When you're trying to read it as a comic, it's bad. And the thing about it is when you look at a writer and artist in a comic, it's like the director, cinematographer, and editor in a movie. When all three are firing on all cylinders, then you get a scene that even if you have no sound or subtitles, you can basically follow what's going on. You may not get the specifics or anything like that, but you're able to tell from one shot to the next what is happening, who's where, what the general feeling of the scene is. And comics are much the same way. When the writer and the artist are firing on all cylinders, then you don't necessarily, you can look at a page sans dialogue and still have an idea of what's happening from panel to panel. And that's kind of important because it's literally sequential art. Like, that's kind of a thing you need.
Yeah. Like, that's actually how I learned how to read, because you just, like, you pick up the words as you're going and such, but the sequential art actually assists with that. If you already have a vague idea of what the story is, then you can start looking for patterns in the words. Comic books are one of the ultimate mediums for expressing an idea, like, even more so than movies, as Grant Morrison would go on and on about. You can stop it, you can start it, you can go anywhere you want in it.
Right. That is not Pat Lee. Pat Lee, those issues, even with dialogue, you had to reread some of those pages three or four times to figure out what the fuck was going on. And that was then compounded later on, because instead of doing the cool Transformers art that he'd been doing, by the time of volume two, they all looked inflatable. Look, you can call it whatever you want. You can call it an anime influence. You can call it whatever. The Transformers in Volume 2 of the Generation 1 comic from Dreamwave look like balloons. And that was another strike. But then, so you started branching out a little bit. They had an Armada comic that was then replaced by an Energon comic when that switchover happened. They started doing stuff like War Within, and War Within was better in that it had art by Don Figueroa, who's really good. And the fact that it's on Cybertron at the beginning of the war means you got all kinds of cool new designs for the Transformers. And in fact, if you look at some of the pre-Earth modes of various Transformers in the toy lines, some of those are directly inspired by Figueroa's art from War Within. Cool. On board with all of that. The only problem is the comic was written by Simon Furman. And given that it had been 9+ years since Simon Furman had written a Transformers comic, and my brain had developed that much more in those 9+ years, I came to realize Simon Furman is kind of a shitty writer. Unfortunately, the people who run the Transformers license have yet to work that out. But, so you have all of these comics, but on the one hand, they are more adult than the cartoon was or the comics back in the day were. You know, there's no cursing or anything like that. There's no robo nudity as a general rule, except when Ultra Magnus strips off the armor. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's different.
but, oh, yeah, condescend to me, Daddy. But the it was generally like a more adult take on the Transformers. However, it is not a good take on the Transformers, because ultimately, like, even War Within, the Decepticons are just evil. That's their motivation, is that, you know, whatever MacGuffin they may introduce, whatever thing that they have Megatron after, he's still just evil for the sake of being evil. You know, IDW's run could be hit or miss, but at least they were giving these characters a measure of depth. You know, in the IDW Transformers, Megatron was a miner who first went bad when he killed a cop trying to defend somebody else. And he's a revolutionary taking on the corrupt Autobot society that they're living in at that time. And the society is, in fact, corrupt. And IDW does a lot of really cool shit with that. But in this, Megatron is just a two-dimensional mustache-twirling villain still. So, while the art had ostensibly matured in the intervening years, the writing had not. It was more convoluted, certainly. I don't.
Which is, like, really impressive when you consider the storylines that the original Marvel Transformers just went, like, fucking off on. I mean, like, so obviously, you've read all of this, and I read, like, a little bit of it for this episode. The difference is, Marvel Transformers, at its worst, I wanted to figure out what the fuck was happening. It's like, I can get my head around this. I know I can get my head around this. I grew up reading Chris Claremont. You can't stop me.
Yeah.
But the bad new stuff, or newer stuff,
right,
I didn't want to. Your brain rejects it and then goes, find something else to fucking do with your life. And you're like, yeah, this is like offensive level comic books.
And that's pretty much, for me, there was a lot of, you know, when it first started coming out, I was the happy little fanboy who was just like, yay, new Transformers. But yeah, as things went along and it started getting just terrible, increasingly terrible, my brain started saying, you know, you could be doing anything else right now. There are people, you know, studying to be doctors, and you're doing this. Is this what you were put on Earth for? To read more Simon Furman? And
why would a creator make something suffer so?
Yeah. So, it's real bad. It's real bad. And
it's real bad.
Now, fortunately, it was short-lived.
And like that's got to be like the true power of this IP of Transformers is that anytime they have shit and like, woohoo, sometimes they take a big old fucking shit right in the middle of the room and then like they'll point at it and be like, aren't you proud of us? And he'll be like, you just took a shit in the middle of the room. But 5 minutes later, if that shit does not play, they'll be like, I don't know, mowing your lawn and handing out blowjobs or something. They will go out of their way to make sure that, like, we'll get something right eventually here, and we'll keep trying until we do. And we'll keep trying and trying and trying and trying. Because, like, this Transformers prints money. Let's, you know, let's face it, no matter what. We're shopping for my girlfriend's nephew. Because he's like six or something. And we were down the toy aisle for his birthday last week. And I saw some shit in that toy aisle, that's for sure. But like there was a ton of Transformers. A ton of Transformers. There was also a lot of very strange pro wrestling ones. And I saw Mae West. There was a Mae West toy, which like every kid wants a Mae West toy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But, like, holy fucking shit, Transformers, it has never stopped.
I'm trying to imagine the kid who gets a Mae West toy. And
it came with the hand, so, like, the kid has to get that as well, or else they're going to be like, why is there an extra hand?
Right. Well, and, you know, the thing about it is, like, that kid's got a long road ahead of them. I'm sorry. Like, you are never going to be like the other kids at your school. And I'm sorry for that. You're awesome. I love you. But you have got a long life of people misunderstanding you, assuming things, you know. Like, yeah, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry about the state of the world, but by the same token, you're seven. Don't buy the Mae West toy. Anyway. But yes, there are a lot of Transformers. However, as I said, most of them, unfortunately, are not aimed at getting seven-year-olds on board. They're mostly for
no, some of that stuff was very complicated.
Yeah, it is
looking.
All for people my age, and that's distressing. But anyway, unfortunately, as much as the slow death of Dreamwave Productions makes me happy on like a visceral level, it does come with the asterisk of, but a lot of creators were hurt, because I mean, if you go on Wikipedia, Pat Lee's wiki page is a little bit of biography, but then the controversy section is longer because there was a lot of in the last days of Dreamwave. Creators were not getting paid, which isn't surprising when a company is not doing well. But what is surprising is the sheer level of fuckery that Pat Lee was engaging in. Not only were artists not being paid, but when Dreamwave went under, they found out they were on the hook for debts. In
the
terms
fuck?
Of like they would be sending their art to Canada for Dreamwave to then turn around and produce it, and Dreamwave was not paying for the postage at all at any point in a lot of this, and so then people like Don Figueroa and Alex Milne and others were suddenly discovering that they owed money for sending this stuff. They were not getting paid for what they were doing. Alex Milne supposedly worked as a ghost artist on Cyberforce, even though Pat Lee was the only one credited. There were there was a lot of, as the company was circling the toilet, Pat Lee was diverting work from Dreamwave Productions to the new company he'd set up called Dream Engine. There was a company, Porsche, that became Pat Lee's. Just a lot of shit. And Pat Lee has tried to say, well, you know, the company wasn't doing well. There was a lot of people not getting paid. And it's like, yeah, but you set up a whole new company. Like, that's shady as fuck, man. Yeah.
That's super shady. And like, I'm amazed that he was not sued into oblivion.
I know that a couple of creators were pursuing that, but I do not know where that actually went. Now, Pat Lee for a while there then proceeded to do, he did some work for Marvel with the X-Men Fantastic Four crossover. He did House of M, Iron Man, things like that. But since then, there's not been a lot from Pat Lee, and all I can say is bye. So
like, I can't think of a more irrelevant crossover title or tie-in title than what's Iron Man doing during House of M? Fuck him. I don't give a shit. Fuck him. He is a human base human fuck. Fuck him.
Pretty much. So now some of these folks have proceeded to find other work doing other things. Some of them, I know Don Figueroa has done some stuff for IDW during their run with Transformers, so on and so forth. And, you know, I hope they do well, because some of the artists that were working on it at the time were talented people. They just, you know, got roped in by a dude who was more interested in ripping them the fuck off. So I wish them all well, even Simon Furman. Like, Simon Furman's a shitty writer. I'm sorry, but I don't bear him personal animus.
And someone clearly likes his writing because he keeps getting hired.
Well, yeah, I mean, he will, until the day he dies, he will have a home with whoever has the Transformers license, because there is a section of fans that has a giant hard on for him, and that's fine. You know, if you like Simon Furman's writing, that's fine, I guess.
Some people really like Torchwood from the BBC, and those people are wrong. Some people can be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, not all of it is bad. Some of it's real bad. But I like Yanto. Yanto's good.
Everyone likes Yanto.
I liked
that. There's nothing of substance to say by saying I like Yanto. It's like saying I like chocolate. No,
I
like Vern
Gorman on the show and stuff like that. But
yeah, that Vern Gorman's great in everything he touches. But Cyberwoman
was just ridiculously bad. And anyway, that's a whole other thing. This is a Doctor Who podcast now.
Join me for my 5-hour rant about the 4, 5, 6, 7. Ah, fuck them. Whatever.
Like I said, I bear none of the creators any ill will whatsoever. I hope they're all doing great. I hope that they get everything their heart desires, and then they can find Pat Lee, call him up, and be like, "I am doing so well. How are you?" And he can just be like, "Well, someone broke into my tent and stole all my shit." And they can like take a personal and just almost sexual delight in that in that conversation. I want that for them.
I want them to be able to afford personally as artists to get together and reunite the members of Love Inc. and pay them to follow Pat Lee around singing "You're a Superstar" sarcastically. That's how much success I hope they have.
Yeah, it's you know, Pat Lee, on the other hand, he I hope he develops the galloping crotch rot. I hope that everything he touches fails before he ever has a chance to inflict it on anyone else. I hope that the moment he decides to do something, it fails, so that he can't rope other people into it and fuck them over yet again. I hope that the next time I hear about Pat Lee, it's in memoriam. I do not want to have anything to do with that man ever again. And that's not to say I hope he dies. It's just to say that I do not want to hear about him again until there is a disgraced former Transformers artist, Pat Lee, passes away at whatever age. So yeah, fuck Dreamwave.
Oh, we haven't had a good, like, fuck this property in particular episode yet. And it's just so nice that you can focus it on one person in particular.
Yeah, it is. They become like a specific thing to direct all your hate toward. And it's so rewarding. Because, yeah, like, you know, everybody else, even if I didn't like what they were producing, okay, they were hired to do a thing. Like, whatever. You're an artist and you're good at drawing Transformers. Get a paycheck. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, God. Hating Pat Lee feels so good. nearly accidentally said, Pat Lee feels so good. And, I don't.
I mean, like, those abs. Those abs.
Yeah, but he would be a really selfish lover. Like,
oh, yeah, he wouldn't even notice you're there.
It would be so bad, it would negate previous orgasms you'd had.
Taking back orgasms.
Yeah, it would retroactively ruin previous sex.
Congratulations, you're now a virgin. Wait, what? Yeah, you're like a 40-year-old virgin. Oh, no!
And it would start with the best ones. Like, it wouldn't negate the shitty ones first. It would start with the really, really good ones. And then all that would be left was, like, the just fucking terrible sex. Anyway.
I like it. It's Back to the Future logic, too. Like, if you were an impartial viewer at the time, you just see the event and the people, like the bed and you and whoever just, like, fade out of existence. And the room changes slightly. And it's like, it never happened. Biff Tannen's the president.
Yeah, that's exactly how it would go. so, yeah. So, fuck Pat Lee, but do not. Actually, fuck Pat Lee. That does not go well for anybody. Next time, I guess we'll talk about Dreamwave. Or not Dreamwave, IDW.
No, not again. Not again. Oh, God. Welcome to the Dreamwave podcast.
This is just Dreamwave over and over again. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
We noticed that there was no Dreamwave podcast, and we were like, oh, that's a niche to fill, and we started doing it and realized, oh, no, it's not a niche, it's a trap!
It is. It's some sort of terrible, ironic punishment. Like that would be that would be me. Like I'll go to hell and it'll just be like, you host a super popular podcast. Everybody loves it, but it's Dreamwave all the time.
Well, gee, Satan, at least someday I'll run out of Dreamwave issues to talk about. Oh, they're still printing down here. Daily, my love, daily. Ah!
You will never run out of things to talk about. And all of your commercials are for MyPillow. Anyway, yeah, we'll talk about IDW's Transformers the next time we talk about Transformers. So that's exciting, because there's some actual interesting stuff there.
Have some hope. It will get better. Not everything is doom and gloom. We just have to, you know, to get to the other side of hell, we have to pass through it. And right through the devil's butt crack. That is canonically how you exit hell.
Yes. So yeah, it does get better. Unless you're the Mae West toy kid, then it's bad.
It's never gonna get better.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, kid. I'm so sorry that you weren't there in the 90s, kid. I mean, you would have been a WCW kid and like, you would have been a loser even then. But...
Oh boy. Anyway, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at multiverso marketing at gmail.com if there's something you'd like.
We should see if we can get that other title. No one else is using it, right? Right? Right.
Yeah, sure. But if there's something you'd like to see us add to the list, we can maybe do that, or it may already be on there. You know, who the fuck are you that you think you know better than us?
You think you understand the list better than us?
The list was old when the world was young. The list. Anyway, so yeah, like, rate, and subscribe and all that stuff. You know, give us a rating wherever you listen, because that gets us in front of more people. Or don't. You're an adult, presumably. You can do whatever you want. I hope you're an adult after we talked about fucking Pat Lee.
And if you're not an adult, you are now.
If not, when a disgraced former comic book artist and a fanboy are very drunk, then they have a special hug. And by special, I mean incredibly disappointing hug. Anyway, bye. I'm going to stop before I keep going forever.
Enjoy that image. Goodbye.